Every believer will experience unparalleled ecstasy in heaven. Do you have that?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and the grave, assures the joyful, eternal destiny of every individual person who has responded to the gospel call and put their trust solely in Him. Pastor Brian Grant has detailed something of the joy in the first part of this evening's message, and we invite you to listen as he answers some of the questions you may have about how the resurrection affects you personally. Here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of How the Resurrection of Jesus Impacts Us.
Question number two. You ready for question two? What will marriage be like after the resurrection? Oh, I'm going into some territory we hardly talk about, but can I go there? Do you mind if I go there this morning? What will marriage be like after the resurrection? I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but if you've been putting off your honeymoon or your anniversary celebration, promising your spouse you'll have a big honeymoon in heaven, please go ahead and have the party now. But can we look at Matthew 22:30? Matthew 22:30. So Mrs. X, if Mr. X won't give you the honeymoon or the big celebration because he says he's waiting for heaven, tell him Pastor Brian says it's time to do it now. Amen. Matthew 22:30 says, what does it say? You saw it? It says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God. Oh, I can just hear some people now. Their poor little bubble just burst because they were looking forward to all doing all sorts of stuff in heaven. Men and women in heaven will be like the angels. Can I keep it real? They won't be having sex, nor will they be having children. But don't be disheartened. For the God who made sex and gave us children has something much more wonderful than sex awaiting us in heaven. Are you listening to me? Some people mess up their whole families. They mess their lives up because of this thing called sex. And so when you hear that there's no sex in heaven, well, I don't need to go then. I'm just being real. But who made it? Who made sex? Do you realize that the God who made what you think is so spectacular can make something and has made arrangements for something much more spectacular? And guess what? It's not going to be limited where some who don't get married don't have a full opportunity to benefit. Everybody in heaven will have equal access and even benefit. Amen. Praise the Lord. For starters, there will be a mind-blowing marriage in heaven that's way beyond human comprehension. And in Revelation 19, the Bible gives us a small peek into the events that will take place at what the Bible calls the marriage of the Lamb. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And I'm just going to read verses 6 to 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah. You know, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Of course, all this is coming, you know, that big chorus is coming from right here in the Bible. Amen. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. I want to stop right here. Put this in your notes. The marriage supper of the Lamb will be a time of tremendous joy and excitement in heaven to celebrate the union of Christ and the church, his bride. Sometimes we when we teach prophecy, we make it so much a matter of taking good notes that we miss the excitement of what is going to happen. The marriage supper of the Lamb will be a time of tremendous joy and excitement in heaven to celebrate the union of Christ and the church. Man, I've gone to some weddings and there's so much excitement. What a thrill it's going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Write this. This is an experience that's rarely discussed. So add this to your notes. Every believer will experience unparalleled ecstasy in heaven. Do you have that? Every believer will experience unparalleled ecstasy in heaven. Ecstasy that is way beyond what any couple has ever experienced on earth. So for those of you who want to know what is ecstasy, add this to your notes. Ecstasy is an overwhelming feeling of great happiness and joyful excitement. And when God takes us to heaven with him, our hearts will be constantly overwhelmed with happiness and joyful excitement as we enjoy our Savior's presence and all the wonderful things he has in store for us. What a day that's going to be. Are you glad you'll be there? Are you glad you will be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb? What a joy, what a day that's going to be. Well, here's the third question we're going to answer. When will this coming resurrection take place? The Bible refers to two coming resurrections. Let me put John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 on the screen. John 5, 28 and 29, which reads thus. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Everybody who has died and buried is going to come forth. They're not coming forth for the same purpose. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And I'm going to break down exactly what's going to happen and when those two resurrections will happen. There are two resurrections. So add this to your notes. The resurrection of life will be in two phases. The resurrection of life will be in two phases. And let me take you to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13 to 18. If you're there, say amen. That was a weak amen. Are you there? I do not want you. Verse 13. The apostle writes, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Pause a minute. When, as I'm going to show you in a minute, when a Christian dies, They do not go to occupy their mansion. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Write this in your notes. The resurrection of life will be in two phases. Phase one takes place at the rapture of the church, when all born-again believers will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You got that? Phase one takes place at the rapture of the church, when the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to come for his church, and we're going to be caught up together. His foot is not going to come to the earth at that time. We'll get there in a moment. At this time, we're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible makes it clear that there's an order. But it actually tells you in that verse, I don't want you to be ignorant for those who have fallen, lest you sorrow. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so will God bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Did you see that? The Christian who died is now with Jesus, but they don't have a body. Did you see that? This is why verse 14 is telling you, at the time of the rapture, the Lord Jesus is going to bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Their souls and their spirits are having a fine time with Jesus, but to fully enjoy all that God has for us, we will need a body. Amen. And every believer in Jesus will get their body the same time. Every member of the church, all the church, we will get our body the same time. Those who sleep in Jesus right now, their souls and their spirits are with the Lord, but they are waiting for that day that is described here, the rapture of the church, and all of us, the dead in Christ, will rise first. Those who the Lord brings, the souls and spirit, they will rise first. Then those of us who are alive and believers in Jesus Christ, we will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There won't be a whole lot of people missing on earth. Let me go off track here for a minute. I have always wondered. No, I'm not sure how they're going to explain it. But this world is going to find an explanation for why all of a sudden millions of people are missing. He's shouting, what I wonder if this is why UFOs, and that's, you know, they're telling us how many UFOs are being sighted. You can imagine they're going to have a good explanation why so many people are suddenly missing. And I have a feeling perhaps that's why UFOs, unidentified flying objects, are getting so popular today. They're seeing them everywhere. But what I know, when Jesus comes, I'm over here. We'll be going home, hallelujah. When he comes, all those of us who know him as our Savior, we'll be going home. Do you know him? Come on now. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Has he saved you from your sin? Have you repented from your sin? Are you living for Jesus? Oh, come on now, make sure. Because I want to tell you, eternity is a long time. Man, I tell you, some people have lived to 100 and 900 and 10, 120, and people say they live for a long time. Eternity is, that ain't not even a drop in the bucket to eternity. Can you imagine? Just imagine! Missing heaven! I am so glad to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim to men and women the reality that there is a coming resurrection, and that the only ones who are going to heaven to be with Jesus are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who have trusted Jesus. Have you trusted Jesus? Oh, I pray if you haven't trusted Jesus, this will be your day. This will be your hour where you'll stop making excuses and putting it off and say yes to Jesus. Settle it once and for all. Hallelujah. At the rapture, together with Christians who are still alive, we'll receive our new incorruptible bodies designed for the glories of heaven. What a day. So what about phase two? Don't worry, I'm winding down. Write this. Phase two of the resurrection of life takes place after the Great Tribulation. I don't have time to talk about the Great Tribulation. That's another subject, okay? Come back another week. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. The Bible tells us. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. Judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image. You hear about the tribulation. Some terrible things are going to happen in the tribulation. And people are going to come to Christ at incredible cost. For many, they'll be martyred to come to Jesus. Those who had not worshipped the beast or his image had not received his mark, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Those who are martyred for Christ during the tribulation, and some believe the Old Testament saints, will also be resurrected at that time. But before we close, we need to talk about another very important resurrection that will have very serious consequences. So please add this to your notes: the resurrection of condemnation. The resurrection of condemnation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 reads this way. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I fear that some of my friends, some of my relatives, may unfortunately died and might be heading there. Many people do not believe there's an eternal lake of fire awaiting those who reject the Savior. But if there is no lake of fire, God cannot be trusted. You realize that? For all those of you who would want to disbelieve this part, if there is no lake of fire, God is a liar. He cannot be trusted. We could not depend that there is a heaven either. Jesus would have come and died for nothing. Jesus would allow himself to be torn apart for nothing. But my friend, the cross is real. Jesus did die for your sin and mine. Easter is real. Jesus arose. Hell is real. I'm going to encourage you right now to come to Jesus. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Jesus allowed his one and only Son. Would you have allowed that? Come on now. I got two and a daughter. I would never have given my children to the world. But God so loved the world that the spotless Son of God was torn apart. The verse says that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No matter what you have done, you say, "Pastor, you don't know all the crimes I have committed." Guess what? God does. "Oh, you don't know all the homes I've wrecked." God does. God loves you so much. Listen, listen. Are you still listening? God loves you and you and you and me. He loves each of us so much. This is an individual thing. So don't even worry about the person you're with. Because sometimes people don't get saved because of what their friends may say. This is an individual thing. God loves you so much that no matter what you've done, isn't that good news? No matter what you have done, and no matter how many times you have messed up, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus would have died just for you, just for you, just for you, just for you, and just for me. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, I'm here to tell you, I've been on this journey with Jesus for a minute and a half. I'm here to tell you that it's sweet. Every day gets sweeter. Sweet, there's a little song, you're too young to know this one, but it says, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." You all know that one, huh? "Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for." Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Is Jesus sweet? Have you discovered his sweetness in your life? Are you living for him? It's your opportunity right now. You say, "Brian, pastor, whatever you want to call me, it's okay. I used to walk with Jesus, but I've drifted." Come on back. Come home. For some of you, it's the first time. Come to Jesus. Bow your heads right now. Father, I pray that you will touch hearts right now. And you'll save souls and restore backsliders as only you can. We ask in Jesus' name.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.